Good morning, everyone. I'm really excited to be kicking off the conference. And for the first talk, I'm going to tell you how to build bug-free file systems without writing any manual proofs. So file systems are this essential part of an operating system. But they're also pretty hard to implement correctly. File systems have to maintain this complex hierarchical on-disk data structure. And they have to maintain the correctness and the consistency of this data structure in the face of non-deterministic crashes, which can happen at any moment. So here's a patch for the EXT4 file system. So if the system were to crash at a very particular moment, data could be lost or be corrupted. And the fix is just one flush. And while this may seem simple, bugs like this are very hard to track down, and they're just as hard to reproduce. And so even if you think you've found a problem, knowing if you fixed it correctly is very hard. And what's more concerning is reading comments like this, where developers say that a fix is unlikely to be necessary, but still required to guarantee correctness. That to me sounds like it's absolutely necessary. I happen to like my data. What can we do about this? Well, we know verification is an effective tool for building reliable systems. And in fact, we can use the power of verification to prove the absence of an entire class of bugs. But while this is a great thing, it usually doesn't come for free. In fact, it tends to look something like this. You first write the implementation, and then write this enormous proof, like 10 times the amount of code for the proofs and the implementation. But you don't want to write proofs. You want to write code. And we have a way to do that. So the goal of this project is to eliminate the manual proofs, meaning we don't want any manual annotations or proofs of the implementation itself. But we still want a verified file system. And what's more, if there is any bug, we want to know what it is with a concrete test case that triggers the bug to help the developer figure out what's going wrong. And this greatly reduces wasted debugging efforts. And that is what we call push-button verification. And we're going to do all of this by carefully designing the system to be automatically verified using a state-of-the-art theorem approach, T3, from Regus Research. But T3 is not a silver bullet. And there are a number of challenges we need to address to do this. First, we need to formalize a notion of correctness that captures non-determinism. And it needs to be automatically verified. But not just that, it also needs to scale. Because in a file system, we just have way, way too many states to exhaust. And so prior work in full automation has mostly focused on bug finding, which is great in itself, but it's incomplete in the sense that it does not give us the kind of formal guarantee that we want. So in this talk, I present Yggdrasil. Yggdrasil is a toolkit for building push-button verified file system that addresses those challenges. And for those who are curious about the name, Yggdrasil is named after an immense mythical tree from Norse mythology. Next, I will tell you about crash refinement. Crash refinement is a definition of correctness that is amenable to fully automatic reasoning and enables modularity to scale verification. And finally, I will talk about the YEX66 journaling file system, which is similar to EXT3 and the teaching file system XV6. But unlike those, YEX66 actually guarantees functional correctness and crash safety. So this is a high-level overview of the toolkit. And here, green represents a trusted component, which we assume to be correct. The toolkit then either ensures that the white boxes are correct or finds any bugs in them, if there are any. And so how do you, as a developer, use this toolkit? You have to write three things, highlighted here at the top. The first one is a specification, a trusted, high-level, abstract file system. Then you write your actual implementation code. And finally, you write the consistency invariance, which is a small number of predicates that say whether the on-disk image is corrupted or not. And I have to emphasize this point. The predicates are independent of the implementation itself. They're only predicates on the disk image. In our current prototype, these are all written in a subset of Python. And just to highlight what this looks like, here's a specification for a transactional disk. It's basically a straightforward description of multi-block atomic write. Next, these inputs are passed to the verifier, and the verifier tries to prove that the implementation is bug-free with respect to the specification. If the verifier finds a bug, it produces a test case, a concrete disk image, concrete inputs, and a concrete execution that shows how things can go wrong. After all the bugs have been fixed, the toolkit finally gives you an executable file system which you can mount and run. So that's a high-level overview of the toolkit. And in summary, Yggdrasil is a user-friendly and requires no complex logic to use. And if there are any bugs, the toolkit generates a concrete test case to identify it. But there are a couple of limitations that I want to mention. First of all, concurrency is completely out of scope. And second, we did use a number of unverified tools that we simply have to trust. So now that I've told you about the Yggdrasil toolkit, let me tell you how to verify file system this way. A strawman approach is to model both the specification and the implementation as two state machines, where each operation takes its current state, any number of inputs, and returns a new state. The figure here shows a specification and implementation, how they might transition during a single operation. So what we want to prove then is that if the implementation and specification start in equivalent states, they should eventually transition to equivalent states. And so to verify that this implementation meets a specification, and if the specification starts in state S0, and after one transition goes to S1, the implementation should start in equivalent state I0, and through any number of intermediate states, eventually reach I3. And while this is fine, it does have a limitation for file systems, because we cannot use this to prove anything about crashes or any other non-deterministic events. So how might we fix this? Here you can see the same diagram as before, but the number of possible intermediate states, intermediate crash points inserted. And so the intuition behind how we're going to fix the previous definition is going to say the implementation meets the specification. If starting in equivalent states, they eventually transition to equivalent states, but also that any state produced by a crash in the implementation should be equivalent to some allowed state in the specification. So let me tell you how we formalize this intuition. On a high level, we have to do two things. We have to explicitly capture crashes into what we'll call a crash schedule. And then we're going to use this crash schedule to formally define our notion of correctness, which we call crash refinement. Now, before I tell you why that is important, let me define it a bit more formally, starting with a crash schedule. So a crash schedule is a set of Boolean variables that explicitly captures non-determinism. So to make this concrete, consider a simple program. It issues two writes. It writes the value v1 to address a1, and the value v2 to address a2. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to compute all the possible crash states that this program can make. And so we have to consider that this first write operation may or may not succeed, depending on crashes. And we're going to capture that with a Boolean variable b1, where a value of false means a write doesn't succeed, and a value of true means it succeeds. And we can then conditionally update this state at address a1, taking this Boolean b1 into account. We get similar results for the second write. We add a Boolean variable b2 to the schedule, and we conditionally update the disk, taking this Boolean into account. That means updating a2 if b2 is true. And you want to note that the crash schedule captures all four possible non-deterministic state changes this program can make. Both of those writes can fail, they can both succeed, and the disk controller can reorder those writes, which means any one of them can fail and the other one succeed. So now we know what a crash schedule is, we can define crash refinement. First, we capture all crash states by computing the crash schedule for each of the file system operations. And now we can say that if for each operation, for all possible states and all possible inputs, and all implementation schedules, there should exist a specification schedule such that it produces the same output. And one thing to note about this is that crash refinement does require solving quantifiers, which in general are undecidable. But our formulation of crash refinement is actually decidable. And you can imagine in the worst case, you just enumerate all possible states, which is obviously going to be a bad thing. But C3 is actually quite good at solving this particular form. And the complexity essentially depends on the number of states in the specification. And since specifications are usually much, much simpler than implementation, this is fast in practice. So that's a simplified explanation of crash refinement. I don't have time to go into details, so please see the paper for the complete definition, including things how you handle things like recovery. So in summary, crash refinement is great, as it is amenable to fully automatic reasoning using C3. And since a specification is just an abstract file system, that means the implementation, and that means if the implementation is a crash retirement of the specification, the implementation is indistinguishable from it. And this allows us to do verification in a modular way. For example, we can decouple logical and physical data layouts. What I mean by that, if you first verify a simple but a slow layout, and then prove a separate crash refinement for a more efficient layout. Crash refinement also allows us to decompose the file system into multiple layers and verify each of those layers separately. So let's look at what I mean by that. So here's a simplified view of the X36 file system. And now that I told you how we verify file systems, we can just write a specification put on top of this and verify directly, right? Well, that would mean computing this crash schedule across all of these layers. And the resulting Boolean expression will simply be way too big to solve directly using C3. So we need to be a bit more clever here. And what we would do is we just write a specification for each of those layers. And each layer builds on top of the lower layer specifications. And this allows us to scale the verification to a complete file system. And if you remember the code example I showed you earlier, that is precisely the specification we use to verify the write-ahead logging implementation in YX06. So using the stacking abstractions and a couple of other techniques, we built two variants of the YX06 file system. First one is a synchronous file system. Just like X86, verified file system, which persists each system call immediately, which makes them very easy for users to reason about, but it also makes them pretty slow. And so we built another variant of YX06, which we call YX06 group commit. That is a weaker consistency model to significantly improve performance. So in total, YX06 is about 2,000 lines of code. And Yggdrasil is about 1,500 lines of code and includes common reusable data structures and common useful disk specifications. And using this toolkit, we built a few other applications, including a very simple log structured file system, a user-based copy utility, and the persistent log from the Arrakis OS. And the great part about all of it, there are no manual proofs. So now that I told you about the YX06 file system, I'm going to attempt to answer four evaluation questions. First, how long does it take to verify? Is the implementation correct, meaning does the file system actually work? How long did it take to build, and how does it perform? So let's go ahead and see how many days it takes to verify. I'm just going to start this up real quick. And since this might take a while, we better come back to this. I'll let you know in a couple of days how it goes. So to evaluate correctness of YX06, we ran a number of tests, including FS stress, a POSIX compliance test, and we also manually induced crashes and inspected the state of the file system after each one of them. And none of this uncovered any problems. But finally, we actually used YX06, and we've even used it for its own development. And it has turned out to be quite stable and reliable. So when we first started this project, we spent the first 4 months or so exploring different primitives and ways to scale verification. And after we settled on this current approach, we spent about 2 or 3 months building YX06 until it was fully self-hosting. And then for the past 6 months or so, we've been experimenting with different optimizations to apply and possible future work. So how does YX06 actually perform? Here's a graph with two of the benchmarks we ran. You know, the runtime here on the y-axis is on a log scale. So here we have the verified file system FSCQ, EXT4, and YXT6 all running in synchronous mode. They all have similar performance because they spend most of the time just waiting on I/O. The next two are YXT6 group commit and EXT4 running in its default configuration. And we can see that they outperform the synchronous versions by quite a bit. And in the best case, YX06 group commit has a similar performance to EXT4. But in the worst case, we're at least a factor of 10 off. So there's still some work to be done. So before I wrap this up, let's see how the verification we started earlier is coming along. So as you can see, it finished in just under a minute on my laptop. And just to prove I'm not lying to you, I'm just going to go ahead and just Remove one flush. And as you can see, in about 3 seconds, the verifier actually finds this bug and produces a concrete test case to identify it. So as you saw, YSO6 synchronous mode takes about a minute to verify. But the optimized YSO6 group commit, because it's parameterized by a larger log size, does take longer to verify, but still within reasonable range. So in conclusion, we've demonstrated that push-button verification is feasible for file systems. And a key principle here is that using techniques from the programming language community, we can design systems to enable fully automated and scalable verification. And we are very much looking forward to seeing how we can apply these ideas to different system domains. And so with that, I thank you for listening. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
Hi, I'm Kent from the University of British Columbia. Excellent work. This is amazing from my perspective. I do have one quick question for you. So you've stated how you sort of split up the verification process by splitting it into sort of different layers for specifications. How much work would put into those specifications, and how reusable are those specifications between file systems?
So the transactional disk specification is pretty generic. It just talks about being able to atomically write multiple blocks to a disk. That's pretty generic. The top specification is essentially just POSIX. But the intermediate layers were sort of designed for YXSX. But the general design of YXSX is very similar to XV6. It's just some inodes and directories. So I think that actually would be probably usable across different file systems.
Thank you.
Hey, Chris Ablitz on Microsoft Research. Can you say a little bit more about what kind of theories you use in Z3? Like, do you use arithmetic or nonlinear arithmetic, data types, arrays? Do you reason about loops and so on?
Sure. So we wanted this to be fast. And so we basically only used interpret functions and bit vectors and equality. And then we designed the file system just to use those things.
Vijay Chidambaram, University of Texas at Austin. So I'm still trying to understand the limitations of this approach. So if you have a lot of writes in your system, like, and then each write actually subdivides into writes to an inode, writes to a data block, and so on and so forth, do you actually have a crash schedule for each one of those subparts? And if you do so, like, how do you deal with the explosion problem? There are so many states to verify, right?
I didn't quite get what you're saying. So you're saying that one operation might do multiple writes, writing the like, inode to one block and the data to another block, right?
Right.
And so how we deal with that?
Yes.
So each we just assume that one write is atomic. Mm-hmm. And we then, like I showed before, we compute the crash schedule that captures all possible reorderings of those writes.
Right, which leads to my second question. So if you have, let's say, 10 writes in your application, right, the number of possible reorderings and states gets very, very high. So you mentioned that because your, I think your specification is simple, you handle this, but you can easily imagine that, you know, with larger programs, you would definitely get into points where you can't look at all the states. So I was wondering what I was missing there.
So yes, that's where the different layers come in. So if a implementation is just doing too much work and we're not able to prove directly that the implementation matches specification, we just separate those into multiple layers and verify each one of them separately. And we just strive to make the specification as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. And in most of our cases, the specification only has two possible states. It just either happens or it doesn't. It's essentially atomic.
I see.
And so when we prove the implementation matches the specification, all of the possible intermediate states in the implementation go away in the upper layers.
Thank you.